Hi. Good evening, everyone. Here from the Temple of Silence in Finland. Well, here we are, one day remaining, and then the inauguration. There still seems to be a kind of quiet hovering over the area where the major centers are found. Let's make sure that you're getting enough. Okay. It appears also that the suspected incursions on the state capitals will not come to anything near what was fearfully anticipated. So probably the forewarning and the gathering of the National Guard in those places has somewhat deflected what may have been planned. It always looked a little bit hyped to be able to somehow attack all 50 capitals at the same time. At the same time, the deeper we go into the major incursion that occurred in Washington, the more planned it seems to be. This was not a spontaneous overrunning of the Capitol. It was something planned by many, and many who are still in hiding regarding their role in the planning. But that's all coming out. I think there are some, how 275 or something arrests. And the people will talk about who's behind it. And it does seem that certain senators and congresspeople have actually been aiding and abetting this. I would call it really a sacrilegious attack on America's temple of democracy. So it appears more horrific as it goes. There was a definite juicing up of the crowd that was gathered. Actually, I think 8,000 people stormed the Capitol, something like that, but tens of thousands were present. And when you really think how close we came at that point to having these squads, these groups hunting out the vice president, hunting out the Speaker of the House, looking for Democrats and renegade Republicans to shoot, to murder. The whole prospect is more and more horrific. And we have to thank all the powers that worked, outer and inner, to be rid, at least actively and effectively, of the psychopathology which was streaming from the Oval Office. This will go down as an event that is remarkable in the history of the United States. So, you know, I think many of us are still holding our breath. It's oftentimes the lone wolves that one has to watch out for. They are not part of any organized group like the organized hate groups, the Boogaloo Boys and the Proud Boys. It tells you everything about the immaturity of a great mass of people who represent a large proportion of the American psyche. The ageless wisdom one day will counteract this kind of entitlement, this kind of presumption, this kind of envy of people who have supposedly taken from others their due rights. There are many inequalities in our society. And of course, it doesn't only involve people of color, but it does involve them greatly. They are deprived of many rights which on paper they seem to have, or on parchment. But there's more to it. There really is, behind the scenes, a rebellion against the divine plan. And that rebellion, it's a Martian thing. People like ourselves have to take into consideration. I hope, you know, that on the day of the inauguration, we will be able to stand in support, hopefully, as we view the taking of the oaths and the long-awaited speech by then President Biden. I hope we will be able to continue our support. We'll try to think of the ways in which we can do that, because of course it's a historic moment. I can't say that the United States has escaped from the threat of having its democracy overturned by selfish autocratic people. That will go on, I think, with greater and lesser intensity over some years, and maybe by the time we reach 2025, some of that danger will have been put down. But there's no guarantee, because the effects of the Great Conclave do take a while to, as it were, hit the ground, you know. It's not an immediate effect. But subjectively, as DK tells us, with regard to the second of the great invocations, that the war will have been won. It was won before it was acknowledged on the outer plane some 3 years later. Now let us hope that it takes the shortest possible time for the effect of the conclave to permeate the psychology of all humanity, because that's really what this is all about. This is a psychological rebellion. It doesn't only involve the United States, although it seems to be beginning there. It involves many countries, all countries. It involves the dweller on the threshold of humanity and the angel of the presence. This is what we are engaged in at the moment. Now, maybe there are some of you who would like to offer a thought or, you know, say something with voice before we get into our meditation, which basically is going to work with color, with the angels, and with the clearing of the ethers, as we have been doing, as we attempt to hold steady using esoteric methods, realizing we're, you know, just students of this great teaching, but we can add something, as it was hoped long ago in the 1930s, that the students could add something. But apparently not enough, and apparently the new group of world servers was in a way too new to be powerful enough to offset the onset of the Second World War. Horrific forces, in my opinion anyway, that's all we can offer is our estimate, are behind what is happening. They are very subtle. They are very intelligent and extremely dangerous, because this conspiratorial state of mind that is sweeping through, let us say, the United States, is really an unhinging of the American psyche. It has, in great measure, lost its mooring, its anchorage, in fact, in truth. And instead, the wildest conspiratorial theories are projected onto others who have nothing to do with them. It's just the diseased minds that are involved. And they don't recognize it in themselves. I can, in my opinion, honestly use the term diseased minds of those who are vulnerable to these forces of darkness. It's not entirely their fault, and reincarnational experience has something to do with it, as does the final and often negative expression of a ray that is going out of incarnation temporarily, because so many of them are authoritarians needing a strong leader whom they can obey and pass on the responsibility. You have noticed, have you not, that many of these people who have been arrested say, well, we were just following our leader. He summoned us to the White House. He told us to do this. You know, what's different with the Der Führer? What's different? You know, what's different with following Mussolini or Hitler? Or Tojo in Japan. No different, and the method is the same. At a time when much later you would think we had outgrown all of this. But we haven't, and we have to face the facts. And the present danger even a danger from infiltration, I've been mentioning, and apparently the powers that be have been attempting to vet the people closest to the swearing-in, members of the National Guard who may have been radicalized, members of the police force who may have been radicalized, and who think it is their duty to somehow save the country by killing or disrupting, killing the president-elect or the vice president or the speaker or whomever. They're saving the country. Well, such is the benighted state of the psyche of millions. It's a threatening factor. And we have to do ongoingly what we can do to, in our own way, offset this. Education. We must educate the ignorant, vehement public, which is so convinced of its rectitude. All over again, they are fighting the Revolutionary War, they say. They're fighting the Civil War, they say. And all it is the ignorance of their personalities and their overcoming by the Martian beast, the genie let out of the bottle, the forces of chaos and destruction, rage and anger and envy. But no, these things are not seen by them, and they are projected on others. Okay, now, let's see in our chat box here. I'm going to Here are some statements. Here's from Jesse. U.S. law enforcement is investigating whether a woman, yeah, took a laptop computer or a hard drive from U.S. House of Reps Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office during the siege on January 6th and tried to sell the device to Russian intelligence. Yes, that's... Yes, that is in the news. And what is the motive there? It's certainly not patriotism, is it? So this is being investigated, and we need to have all of these deviations from true regard for our country, for the United States as a country. We need to see with clear eyes what can happen. Going on, U.S. defense officials say they are worried about an insider attack, yep, or other threat from service members involved in the securing of President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration. Right, prompting the FBI to vet all of the 25,000 National Guard troops coming into Washington. What a huge task that has been. And actually, they were ahead of the game, weren't they? They've been doing that now for quite a while. This is not just a spontaneous kind of idea of the last few days. It's been going on for some time. Jesse's continuing here. Small groups of protesters, some of them armed, gathered on Sunday at state houses in the U.S. where tensions are high after the deadly riots in the Capitol, at the Capitol in Washington. Yes, apparently, though, small and not effective, not yet effective, in the way planned. Protests were held outside Capitol buildings in Texas, Oregon. Now, those are not states in question. Michigan is a state in question, one of those key tipping states. Ohio, not a state in question, and elsewhere, but important states. Many other state houses were quiet amid the ramping up of security across the U.S. legislatures, and no clashes were reported. The FBI has warned of armed protests ahead of Wednesday's inauguration. So as we get closer, the inimical forces intensify their efforts, and the desperation, I would assume, of President Trump becomes more intense. Tomorrow, he plans to pardon about 100 people. There will be criminals, of course, and payoffs. And the level of corruption is astonishing. And let's just see whether his family is preemptively pardoned and whether he attempts to pardon himself. That will be news. Here's Tia saying the correct application of justice in the form of punishment should serve as a deterrent to those contemplating and planning future acts of lawlessness. I think, Tia, that this has to be followed through. When you realize, you know, I mean, the astonishment of what was attempted on January 6th, and actually what did occur, deepens day after day as one sees the nefarious nature of the planning. It is taking our breath away, our collective breath, so to speak. And the only way to deal with this, I mean, we're not going to let the beast run rampant. Of course, I use that term regarding the 666. Namely, if you look at the 6 and the 9, you will see that the circle is submerged in the 6. But it has made its way out of the lower energies in the 9. So this is a submerged consciousness of a non-sacred planet, driving people who serve only their personality welfare, and that selfishly as well. So punishment, and let's see how that acts and how that works. In such cases, justice should be sure. And that's why it's impossible to defer and say no, no. And watch for the evil stream of force which seeks to mend the rent or the rents. Project upon that stream the energy of which you know it led you from the ashram into the veils. So it should be swift justice, and it should be severe. I commend the FBI, Inspector Generals, and other law enforcement bodies for their response. And it turns out, you know, that this man, Christopher Wray, although increasingly despised by the present administration, is an upright individual. And the department is attempting to do the best it can. From Maureen, I would suggest that one get a more balanced view of the American news, where the mainstream media and social media is being used to create fear and divide people through censorship and lies. Well, okay, but if you, I know, here we are again, Maureen. But if we look at that far right media and platforms, what's coming through the mainstream media is truth itself by comparison. No media are perfect by any means. It's just a question of what the people who are inspired by soul, what they trust, and what they their inner intuition reveals to them as obviously selfish, corrupt, materialistic, and anti-democratic. And I'm not talking about democratic in the sense of the party. I'm talking about what we're trying to preserve as the expression of hierarchy where the will of all people is heard, not just the will of one side or the other, the will of the people, and every side claims to be the people, which is just nonsense. There has to be a fair approach, and what you trust or do not trust, or what anyone trusts or do not trust, is up to you, is up to them. All right, a little more. Okay. Tia, when you have a moment. Yes, okay, good, Tia, I'll call on you. And I recommend the CNN program Making History about Kamala Harris and her life, truly inspiring, approaching this historic moment for women and for all of us. She repeated several times, her mother always told her, you can do anything and anything is possible. Well, technically and philosophically, anything is possible. That's a whole nother, I know what Kamala Harris means, but deep down in the philosophical existential sense, anything. Part of, well, I won't get into it, but anything is possible. Yes, it's inspiring, and there's so many people that are racially motivated. You know, the day will come when we can look at somebody and see their causal body. We can see what status in spirituality they really have. And we can see the light that is in them. That will be a preamble to the justification for initiation when the Christ again is offering externally the first initiation. And to slightly to smaller and more interior groups, offering the second as well. The light will be seen. So we have to learn somehow to see the real human being. We've all been in all the races, and, you know, there's no way to look at the external form, except, I mean, there are cues, you know, from physiognomy and all those other things about the, because it does reflect the etheric body, and the etheric body reflects the causal body, okay, but there's no way to look at a particular racial division and individuals in it, and determine really anything about the quality of the interior human being. That is causal perception. And we students of occultism had better learn how to do these things by strict discipline to the ancient laws, so that sooner rather than later, we become capable. Going on. And Kim is, where is Kim's thing here? Okay. This is from Kim. Unfortunately, oh, wait, there's a little bit more earlier. From Yvonne, Trump is planning his goodbye party indeed. And they were partying, you know, before the... before the president came down to whip up the crowd. And some of those partying pictures are just disgusting when you consider that the attack on at least our temple of democracy was being planned. And Ivan says he said he wouldn't pardon himself or his... or his family, well, maybe, because there are drawbacks to doing that, you know. Then if he does that, then people can be called as witnesses and cannot take the Fifth Amendment of self-incrimination, and so they will be under oath and in danger and will have to speak the truth, which could incriminate him. Well, look, you know, we're all heading to the time. Saturn has entered Aquarius. This means that great discipline among the in society is going to be exerted by the law, and it comes closer and closer to the dweller on the threshold position for Mr. Trump. It will be at his seventh house cusp, and there will be at that time probably a culmination, a reckoning of much incrimination that has led up to that point. We're still, I think, more than 2 years away from that, but it will gather steam, and there will be a reckoning, no question. And every one of us is fighting this battle. We all have the dweller. We all have the angel. If for any reason we are astute enough to see within ourselves, when we favor the dweller, let's be honest about it and find out why we favor the dweller in certain moments rather than give ourselves to the sacrificial intention of the angel. I mean that for myself and for everybody. We cannot project. We say, oh, it's his fault, her fault, whatever. We have to look to ourselves also to see our imperfections and the possibility of favoring the dweller in circumstances that should not favor the dweller. Now, Kim is answering here and saying, unfortunately, until we are enlightened, we are all viewing everything through our ignorant and unhealthy patterns. You know, as they say, the front part of your own aura, our unhealthy patterns of consciousness. Even if we think we understand, we don't always. So that's the humble position, and it's wise. As my enlightened teacher teaches, our job is to remain a dispassionate observer and work towards greater and greater levels of wisdom and self-realization. Well, you know, all those things are true, of course. And the extent to which we act, see, even observation can be an act, but there are other internal acts as well that I would call upon people to engage in. And these are the internal esoteric acts of the new group of world servers. You know, C group number two, the observers of reality, right? So it's a distinction, a clarification to be a member of that particular kind of group, and their method particularly is to observe. To hold the mind steady in the light, yes, yes, indeed. It's very tempting to get drawn into the drama, well, and I'm doing my best not to do so. Okay, everyone has to do what they think they must do, Kim. All right, going on, Jesse. We all often get what we believe, that is, thoughts or things, good and not so good. So look, you know, we know something, a little bit about esotericism, and when we strive to bring the divine plan through by esoteric methods, we are involved in action on behalf of the divine plan. Cindy is saying, thanks, Kim, I agree. Okay. Now, Tia wanted to say something, and please go ahead, Tia. You can unmute yourself.
Well, I just wanted to say that I acknowledge that what has happened in the past month or so, or the past couple of weeks, has been very, very painful for a lot of people to witness. But on the flip side of that, I'm extremely grateful, because I think that it has brought to light a lot of what has been in existence in America. And I know we've been saying that, all along, but I think that as we see how widespread, how pervasive, how devious it is, it's shocking to a lot of people. And sometimes if you are so deeply unaware or deeply unconscious, you something like that, like a thunderbolt, has to come by and awaken people. For me, who has been working in this area for quite a bit of time, I'm not shocked, actually. This whole thing with the police officers who are racist, who are militant, is no surprise to me. I have, we know that the Ku Klux Klan was comprised of people who were in law enforcement and who were judges. And they were not what people characterize oftentimes as people who are just ignorant or who are untutored or who are uneducated.
And that's the sad and dangerous part of it.
Yes.
Educated people.
I think, and I caution people who are in our work to just keep all of this in sort of a mental exercise, in the sense that we learn a lot of esoteric teaching, but I think that on some level we have to apply what we know in everyday life and circumstance. I have, for example, been on the general counsel on a board that was responsible for members of the Secret Service and various police officers, and I saw their psychological records. A lot of these people are not fit to be carrying guns around or to be policing our streets. And one of the sad things that I know is that a lot of them had racist leanings. They were full of hatred. And in some jurisdictions, when they went to apply, they were ferreted out, and rightly so. But the desire, that Martian tendency that wanted to be expressed, was so strong that they would shop different jurisdictions until they finally got on the police force where they could act it out. Mm. I mean, that's just a practical thing. And so we don't, I guess, you know, Master DK talks about the distinction between unfoldment and initiation. And so we don't want to just be in an unfoldment where we know what initiation is and not apply it. I think we want to really embrace initiation, where we take what we know and use it in the world to make it a better place. That takes discrimination, that takes courage, you know, and it may be a new place that we haven't gone before, but that's really what the edge is. And that, I think, is what is required.
Yeah. Wise words. And, you know, so often he says, well, you know, just don't burden yourself with all kinds of knowledge, which you do not apply, because it's just, you know, you're just heaping up the karma. And, you know, Master Moria, in his own way, which is quite different from that of Master DK, says even a donkey can carry a library on his back. So the implication is clear that this is non-assimilation and non-application. Now, it is dangerous, actually, and, you know, we have to be careful that when we say, well, we have to adopt the attitude of the observer, that we don't use it as a retreat. We adopt the attitude of the observer and the actor. It's a both and our methods may be subtle, okay, but they are internal methods. So thanks, Tia, for your thoughts. Very useful, very useful. Okay, is there anybody else before we get into our meditation? And you can, I should have told you, you can turn on your video, but now we're almost into the meditation. So, okay, anything else? Look, you know, we're all going to have different opinions based upon not only our experience in this life, but in many lives. And our rays will incline us in a certain direction. as the astrological signs of a particular incarnation, which do not make up the whole of our internal astrology, but it's an astrology that we act upon in a particular incarnation. And it is the somehow the will of the many, with all the many rays and astrological indications and all the different levels of experience, which contribute to the wholeness which must be achieved. Human beings these days are victims of such partiality, you know, divide and conquer. When you are an individual in power and you have Mars in Leo on the ascendant, the tendency to divide and conquer is very great. It's not an inclusive approach. Now we have to act inclusively. We are all monads. We are all expressions of the one universal life. There are such things as evil and misguided personalities. And one way or another, under free will, we have, some of us, entered into that stage. And all of us at times have made quite dreadful mistakes. Master DK speaks about the grievous mistakes that humanity has made and how very, very slow the progress has been. But, you know, we have to, when a mistake is being made in front of your own eyes, it's not that you consider yourself the ultimate arbiter, but you've been through that. And if you know, you know. And if you don't know, you know, you're guessing. So I'm hoping that the deep intuition of many lives for more advanced people operates to reveal to them what is truly in line with the divine plan and what is just some kind of glamorous intensity which misleads. And later you wake up with it, you know, and you say, oh, how could I have been there? How could I have done that? You know, the period of recrimination enters in, particularly between the second and third initiations. Okay, I think we're just about ready to have our meditation. Looks like it. So, as we prepare for meditation, let's remember what we're really doing here. We are part of creating that great defending wall, made especially of the radiations of spiritual light, spiritual love, and spiritual sacrificial will, so that the divine plan is not unnecessarily delayed in its manifestation. DK, he spoke of the latent fascism in the United States. And we have to be very careful that we are not seized by some kind of emotional intensity, which later will be revealed actually as fascistic. You know what comes from Rome, and there were certain punishers who could roam about and if they deemed it necessary or if they wanted to, they could simply stop people and beat them, punish them. There were even lethal weapons, I think an axe, in those bundles that they carried with them. They were punishers, a bit like the religious police in some countries. We don't want to mistakenly be a part of any of that. So self-scrutiny, real self-scrutiny, is required. We know that we are attempting to be representatives of the divine plan, and that the Maha Chohan, since 1925 approximately, Master Rakoczy, this is very much his project. Of course, under the supervision of the Christ and with the cooperation of the Manu. And that all of this fractiousness and division, this constant partisanship that masquerades as some kind of justified idealism, none of it is really allowed. Though the Christ did say, I come to bring not peace, but the sword. And we are in that period when the sword of discrimination has been active in separating good from evil, so, as some of you have suggested, we may actually see clearly what is good and what is evil. So we attempt to cooperate with the Master R, even as he cooperates with the Manu. And to bring about a restitution of rectitude in this political department where so much of the attack is going on. Our immediate work and the place of greatest concern is to protect the president-elect, vice-president-elect, until on Inauguration Day they become respectively the president and vice-president. So many of the dire possibilities have not materialized, we can say, yet, anyway. and hopefully they will not materialize. There's been a great inner defense against some of the dreadful things that could have happened. Things dreadful enough have happened. So we're standing as part of the guardian wall and very much representative of the indigo synthetic ray of the soul of the United States. And of the soul of the planet, and of the soul of the solar logos. All this can be corrected in the synthesis of indigo. Just as it was planned to surround and overpower the centers of government, so our surrounding and the surrounding of those who work interiorly and in the angelic kingdom can, and it appears, have offset the nefarious intentions of the powers of fascism, Nazism, and the basic authoritarianism of the outgoing sixth ray. We're not done yet, and we have to hold steady. There can be quite a reaction, we know. Let us assume that the inauguration of the president goes off as intended. There can be quite a reaction to that by the authoritarian forces. You see, authoritarianism is the neighbor and cousin of totalitarianism, which means that the will of each of the many is denied and some kind of single demand is forced upon everybody. That, says DK, is the real enemy. So, even though the swearing in occurs, even though the speech, an important speech, occurs, and it'll be so different from the speech 4 years ago, which spoke of American carnage, which the attitudes of that administration brought about, still vigilance is required. We know. That he for whom the whole world waits has said that whatsoever shall be asked in his name, and with faith in the response, we'll see it accomplished. And on this great promise, we ponder for a few moments. We can use the mantra in the name of the Christ and for his sake. I ask, and then we fill in what it is that we ask, but it must be in alignment with the intention of the Christ and the divine plan. Otherwise, we could not ask it in his name. What do you ask? In the name of the Christ and for his sake, I ask. I spend a few moments now thinking about that. The pervading presence of the Christ is real. Wherever two or more are gathered in his name, as he is the spirit of relationship, he will be there. And we are gathered in his name. We have gathered in your name, Lord Maitreya, be with us. Yet this work is not without risk. And because it has its risks, those who fully engage in it are marked out for some form of protection. But they also have a responsibility to follow the indications. So let us use this cross of divinity from the forehead to the heart, to the left eye, to the right eye, as a protective formula. Identifying as the soul. As the soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point I never move. Trace the light of the cross. And before each of us, there is that cross, and before the entire group. We know also that we work with the angel kingdom. A great reinforcement. We would be incorrect if we thought that only humanity is involved in this process of protecting and securing democracy. And Saint Michael, in one of his modes as Saturn, the power of the law, the ruler of the cosmic physical plane, the dispenser of the plan, is involved with his workers, his guardians. Standing vigil. Over the three centers of government in their symbolic external appearance, the Capitol, the White House, the Supreme Court. All these great ideas that have come down to the founders of the United States through their awareness of years, centuries of abuse by dictators, autocrats, egotists, psychologically unbalanced in so many cases. All these great ideas have to be guarded. And we realize that the guarding is occurring. the guarding of the White House and its four, from its four cardinal points. So that it can be cleansed of the egotism which has run rampant through it for 4 years. Above all, at this time, the guarding of the Capitol, on whose steps the scaffolding is built for the inauguration. The guarding of the Supreme Court. The mission of which is to determine the fidelity to the Constitution when presented with lawsuits, many of which attempt for selfish purposes to go against what the Constitution requires. So we are part of this guarding, taking positions, I suppose, if we're citizens of the United States, in a central responsible position, but all of us are responsible for the preservation of world democracy. And the angels are involved. And despite the risks, the sense of fearlessness is involved through the Upaya Mudra, which we can hold. And in this position, and fortified by the angels, we can call in the white light of purification. Ensuring that the rents in the veils of Maya, made by the lawgiver, by the Christ, and by the initiate Paul, continue to allow the passage of light so that the evil stream of force which seeks to mend the veils cannot be successful. The white light of purification, everywhere present, banishing fear, and helping us drive the wrong conditions within the ethers back temporarily unto the astral plane until man can stand with massed intent and make a concerted attack upon the glamours of the astral plane. So, away with chaos, away with distortion, away with separation, away with ineffective aspiration, all driven back onto the astral plane by the power we get from the ashram. And the courts between the veils can be cleared of the refuse. And through these veils, which are now torn by the heroic acts of great souls, the violet light of transformation can enter, reordering our relationship to the archetypes, and the rose light, which brings tranquility, even-mindedness, a type of emotion that can be filled with love instead of aggravated agitation of the Martian vibration. The rose light can enter and sweep across the United States, lowering the temperature, as they say, so the rage quiets down, the mindless rage of those who believe without thinking, or think in ways that propel towards the left-hand path. So rose light in the United States and in all nations, bringing the possibility of reason, logic, clarity, a more loving attitude. And through the rents in the veils can come the Buddhic light, the strongly yellow light, which brings in the sixth principle of love wisdom, which leads us to wholeness, instead of partiality. And through the torn veils above all can come the indigo synthetic light, absorbing all, all these other colors and rays being subtones, sub-rays of the great indigo inclusive light, spreading now increasingly across the United States and across the world. In fact, all the colors can descend in their higher aspects, and depending upon the ashram with which one is affiliated, and make their way through the torn veils with the indigo ray being prominent for this inauguration and for the difficult future that lies ahead. But the healing of the major healing ray, the indigo ray, can proceed. And steadily come through the torn veils. And no mending of the veils will be allowed. They are torn, but the light will come through. And eventually there shall be a great cleansing of the ethers, and then a cleansing of the astral plane, and finally, later, a cleansing of that which has produced illusion on the lower mental plane. And the light will come through. Let us affirm that this inauguration of a compassionate individual and of a highly diverse and talented vice president who can speak to and for so many will be the beginning of that cleansing of astonishing corruption, which has characterized the last 4 years. Eventually, the sound of the monad, the Om of the soul, and the voice of the personality will be united. And the plan can manifest regardless of the obstructions thrown in the way by those who do not understand even their own psyche, and by those who understand the human psyche all too well in the negative sense. Let the Lords of Liberation issue forth. Let them bring succor to the sons of men. Let the rider from the secret place come forth and coming save. Come forth, O Mighty One. Let the souls of men awaken to the light, and may they stand with massed intent. Let the fiat of the Lord go forth. The end of woe has come. Come forth, O Mighty One. The hour of service of the saving force has now arrived. Let it be spread abroad, O Mighty One. Let light and love and power and death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. The will to save is here. The love to carry forth the work is widely spread abroad. The active aid of all who know the truth is also here. Come forth, O Mighty One, and blend these three. Construct a great defending wall. The rule of evil now must end. The capital was laid out by Masonic architects, and it holds deep esotericism. The indigo blue can sweep through the three main centers. The five-pointed star stand at the intersection of the arms of the cross, the star of initiation. When we work with deep occult forces which support the divine plan. And as the inauguration approaches, let us remember that. From all across the nation, different lines of ashramic energy descend. And the sevenfold wheel of divine love can be used as protection and also to instill love, harmony, unity in the people of the United States and by extension across the world. The colors radiate. They represent the many lines of positive endeavor. And we stand at the center, and the radiation goes forth. All this, so that the good may prevail, the plan may manifest, our psyches may be cleansed of their illusions, of their glamours, the Maya be dispersed, and clarity come instead of the ignorance under which now so many battle enemies they imagine. And then the United States will indeed light the way, psychologically, spiritually, and the many beautiful mottos of the countries of the world will arise, will be spread abroad, will strengthen each other, and a whole better condition of humanity will result. Tomorrow is our last conventional vigil at this time, 8 p.m., and we will come up with how we can watch the inauguration and support at the same time. Because at the very moment of the swearing in and during the speech following, which must chart a new course for the presently vulnerable United States, there are moments of inspiration and moments of danger. So, we persist, and we'll try to suggest a way that we can do that together, because I'm sure we all want to witness the taking of the oath and the speech that follows, and yet uphold our responsibility to guard and protect. So thank you, everyone. And tomorrow we work again in a similar way to today and follow very closely the developments, because the closer we get to the inauguration, the more intense will become the preparations on both sides. It's very hard to escape that duality. It simply exists in humanity, and at the moment, the United States, with its outer Geminian nature, represents that duality. So, lots of love and many blessings from Tuya, myself, and from the whole communications group. And we'll be working with you over the next couple of days, and then we'll see what else may be necessary. And until then, these are days when we can consistently tune in on the requirements and not let up. So do your best to do that, imagining at all times the support of the group with which you are working. Okay. Goodbye for now, and we'll see you soon.